You're listening to Cross the Border. That's the name of this program. And the whole idea of crossing the border is to cross the border into the kingdom of God, synonymous with the kingdom of heaven, or you could say the kingdom of our heavenly Father, the only kingdom that will last forever. So if you want to hedge your bets and who you're going to align yourself with, who you're going to allege yourself with, well, then I would pledge allegiance to the King of Kings, because he is the King of Heaven. And don't wait till you die to enter his kingdom, because if you ain't there when your mortal existence comes to its finality, then you won't be there forever. So cross the border into his kingdom, obtain eternal life. There is nothing, absolutely nothing more important in this life. This life is short, and eternity is forever. So where you're going to be forever becomes a paramount object. Anyway, we're going through the scripture here. We're in Numbers chapter 32, verse 1. Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle. And when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was a place for cattle. And the children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spoke unto Moses and to Eleazar the priests and unto the princes of the congregation, saying, Ataroth and Dibon and Jazer and Nimrah and Heshbon and Eleazar and Shebam and Nebo and Beon, even the country which Yahuwah smote before the congregation of Israel, is a land for cattle, and thy servants have cattle. So we know they just won this great battle. They didn't lose a single man, and they slew every male and kept only the virgin females alive, the little ones. And of course they kept all of the cattle and all of the other things, and everything was to pass through the fire of the... Anyway, so they won this great battle. They overcame this land. And now we have Gad and Reuben, the tribes of Gad and Reuben, coming and saying, hey, you know, this is pretty nice here, and we have cattle, and this is good for cattle, and we'd like this to be our inheritance, basically, is what they're saying. It says, wherefore, said they, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given to thy servants for possession, and bring us not over the Jordan. And Moses said to the children of Gad, to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, and shall you sit here? And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which Yahuwah hath given them? Thus did your fathers when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land, for when they went up into the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel that they should not go into the land which Yahuwah had given them. And Yahuwah's anger was kindled at the same time, and he swore, saying, surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swore unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed Yahuwah. And his anger was kindled against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years, until all that generation that had done evil in his sight was consumed. And behold, you are risen up in your father's stead, an increase of sinful men, to augment yet the fierce anger of Yahuwah toward Israel. For if you turn away from after him, he will yet again leave them in the wilderness, and you shall destroy all this people. And they came near unto him and said, we will build sheepfolds here, for our cattle and our cities and our little ones, but we ourselves will go ready armed before the children of Israel until we have brought them into their place, and our little ones shall dwell in the fenced cities because of the inhabitants of the land. We will not return unto our houses until the children of Israel have inherited every man his inheritance, for we will not inherit with them on yonder side of Jordan or forward, because our inheritance has fallen to us on this side of Jordan eastward. And Moses said to them, if you will do this thing, if you will go armed before Yahuwah to war, and you will go all your armed over Jordan before Yahuwah until he hath driven out his enemies before him, and the land be subdued before him. Then afterward you shall return and be guiltless before Yahuwah and before Israel, and this land shall be your possession before him. But if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against Yahuwah, and be sure your sin will find you out. Build your cities for your little ones. So he's saying, you know, make a fortress for your little ones. That's the word cities is really not what we consider cities today, with streets and cars and automobiles and, you know, great big governments. But they were to build a fortress for their little ones and the folds for their sheep, and do that which proceedeth out of your mouth. And the children of Gad and the children of Reuben spoke unto Moses, saying, thy servants will do as my Lord commandeth. And here it's, I wanted to note that the term they're using to Moses, my Lord, is not the 3068 Yahuwah, but it is, and okay, let me see. It is the Hebrew 113 add-on is comparable to the word which of many people has become popular today, Adonai. So, and basically means, it just means my Lord or my master or my ruler, but it's a sign of reverence and a sign of honor and respect, basically. I mean, someone could called me that. If they're on my property, they would recognize that I am the master or the landlord of that piece of property. Of course, that doesn't make me higher than the position that I actually have in authority over a piece of land or whatever I may have authority. I mean, Sarah called Abraham master because he was the master and the Lord, or the Adonai, of his household. And so is every man the master of his own household. And all of us, if we are in him, we have him as our master. And that is something that we all have in common as the people who have crossed the border into his kingdom and chosen by faith a life of obedience to our Heavenly Father, because we love him. So, they said, thy servants will do as my Lord commandeth. Our little ones, our wives, our flocks, and our cattle shall be there in the cities of Gilead. But thy servants will pass over, every man armed for war, before Yahuwah to battle, as my Lord saith. So concerning them, Moses commanded Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the chief fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel. And Moses said to them, If the children of Gad and the children of Reuben will pass over Jordan, every man armed to battle before Yahuwah, and the land shall be subdued before them, then you shall give them of the land of Gilead for a possession. But if they will not pass over with you armed, they shall have possession among you in the land of Canaan. And the children of Gad and the children of Reuben answered, saying, as Yahuwah hath said unto thy servants, so will we do. We will pass over armed before Yahuwah to the land of Canaan, that the possession of our inheritance on this side of Jordan may be ours. So they struck the bargain. And Moses gave unto them, even to the children of Gad, to the children of Reuben, unto half of the tribe of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, the kingdom of Sihon, king of the Amorites, and the kingdom of Og, the king of Bashan, the land with the cities thereof in the coast, the cities of the country round about. And the children of Gad built Dibon, and Ataroth, and Aor, and Atroth, Sophan, Jazir, Jogbaha, Beth-Nimrah, Beth-Haran, fenced cities, and folds for sheep. And the children of Reuben built Heshbon, Elealeh, Kirjatham, Nebo, Baal-Meon, their names being changed, and Shibma, and gave other names unto the cities which they built. So these are the names of the cities before them, and they changed the names of the cities which they built. Of course, they didn't want, a lot of these are pagan names and idolatrous names, which they did not want to adopt. And the children of Machir, the sons of Manasseh, went into Gilead and took it and dispossessed the Amorite which was in it. And Moses gave Gilead unto Machir, the son of Manasseh, and he dwelt therein. And Jair, the son of Manasseh, went and took the small towns thereof and called them Havoth, Jair, and Nobah. Went and took Kenath and the villages thereof and called it Nobah after his own name. Chapter 33. These are the journeys of the children of Israel, which went forth out of the land of Egypt, with their armies under the hand of Moses and Aaron. And Moses wrote their goings out, according to their journeys, by the commandment of Yahuwah. And these are their journeys according to their goings. You know, there's a big controversy. People like to argue about, did Moses write the entire Old Testament? Well, perhaps he did. I believe he had scribes. You know, if you or I build a house, we buy a piece of property, and they say that even if we hire a contractor or others to build the house, they say, what do they say? That, hey, we go tell our friends, I'm building a house on that piece of property. And they go over there and they look and they see other people building it. The people I hired, right? They say, you're not building a house. Those other people are building it. You know, that's the silliness of the argument. Of course, Moses may have not sat down and wrote every word, because we see a lot of accounting here, and he may have. I say it's unlikely because the scribes had a job to do. And everything that is ascribed to Moses was done under his direction. So if I build a house, but I don't actually do the physical labor, it is ascribed to me as the builder, because I am building it on my property. I am paying for the building of the house. I have commanded the building of the house. I am responsible for the production and all of the details, for at least saying what details were going in, say this is okay, that's not okay. But I am the one that the people who are actually doing the hands-on labor and so forth are ultimately accountable to. So if I say I'm building a house, it doesn't mean that I'm going to pick up a nail or a hammer. Although the fact is I am building a house right now, and I do hands-on because I used to be a carpenter and do that type of work, a contractor. But so did Moses write it? Did he pen it all with his own hand by his own labor? Perhaps, but unlikely, because he had the scribes doing everything at his direction, so it is ascribed to Moses at least. And I'll leave that argument there. You can make up your own mind yourself, or perhaps you can say, the Spirit bears witness with my spirit that perhaps what Nicholas is saying is true. But there's a whole lot more logic and some experience with reading the scripture and understanding what is going on, and that, yes, they actually had scribes. That's why when you get into the New Testament, that Yahshua had a lot of problems with the scribes, the Pharisees, and the hypocrites, because the scribes' jobs were to write. And one of their main jobs was to write the word on the scrolls and to copy it and recopy it. And also, they kept a record of everything, as we see going through the book of Numbers here, the detailed accounting of how everything was split up, the booty that was taken, and how many men, and how, you know, all of the details, right down to the number. So the scribes had a job to do, and as we can see, they did it very well. And we only have a portion of what they did that is encompassed here in the Word of God. There was a lot of writings that were not included in the Word of God, that were not considered part of the Word of God. There were many books that the Israelites and the scribes kept that no longer even exist, and we know this because they are referred to in the scripture. Okay, let's see. These are the journeys of the children of Israel, which went forth out of the land of Egypt with their armies in the hand of Moses and Aaron. And Moses wrote their goings out according to the journeyings by the commandment of Yahuwah. So the Lord, Yahuwah, our Creator, commands Moses, and of course Moses commands the scribes. And these are the journeyings according to the going that departed from Ramesses in the first month, on the 15th day of the first month, on the morrow after the Passover being the 14th day. The children of Israel went out with a high hand in the sight of all the Egyptians, for the Egyptians buried all the firstborn, which Yahuwah had smitten among them upon their gods. Also, Yahuwah executed judgments. And the word gods there is the Elohim, 430, so it can refer to the judges and the rulers, and it can also refer to their idolatrous gods. So he executed judgments also upon them, he says, and referring to the firstborn being smitten. I would say that even to the rulers and the Pharaoh and all of the judges and high, captains of Egypt were all included. And the children of Israel removed from Ramesses and pitched in Succoth, and departed from Succoth and pitched in Etham, which is in the edge of the wilderness. And they removed from Etham and turned again into Pi-hi-heroth, which is before Baal-zephon, and they pitched before Migdol. And they parted from there before Pi-hi-heroth, and passed through the midst of the sea into the wilderness, and went 3 days' journey into the wilderness of Etham, and pitched in Marah. And they removed from Marah, and came to Elim, and Elim were 12 fountains of water, and 70 palm trees, and they pitched there. And they removed from Elim, and see, there's some more of those details, how many palm trees were there, and 12 fountains of water. And they removed from Elim and camped by the Red Sea. They removed from the Red Sea and encamped in the wilderness of Sin, and they took their journey out of the wilderness of Sin and encamped in Dophka, and they departed from Dophka and encamped at Elush. And they removed from Elush and encamped in Rephidim. There was no water for the people to drink. And they departed from Rephidim and pitched in the wilderness of Sinai. And from the desert of Sinai they pitched at Kibroth Hattaavah. And I'm just going to truncate this a little bit because we're going to keep repeating something here. So they went from Kibroth Hattaavah to Hazeroth, from Hazeroth to Ritmah, from Ritmah to Rimmon Perez, and they pitched at Libna, and then they went to Risah, and then to Kehelata, and then they pinched in Mount Sefer, and they encamped in Haradah, Machaloth, Tahath, then to Terah, Mithka, Hashmona, Mazaroth, Bene-Jaktan, Horhag-Gad, Jot-Bat-Ha, Ebrona, Ezion-Gaber, and then they went to the wilderness of Zin, which is Kadesh, and they removed from Kadesh and pitched at Mount Hor in the edge of the land of Edom. And Aaron the priest went up into Mount Hor at the commandment of Yahuwah and died there in the 40th year after the children of Israel were come out of the land of Egypt in the first day of the fifth month. And Aaron was 123 years old when he died in Mount Hor. And King Arad of the Canaanite, which dwell in the south land of Canaan, heard the coming of the children of Israel. And they departed from Hor, and pitched in Zalmanah, and then they went to Punon, and then Oboth, and then from there they went to Ijabarim, at the border of Moab, and they departed from Iim, and pitched in Dibon-Gad, and then they encamped at Almon Diblathiam, and then they went to the mountains of Abiram before Nebo, and they departed from the mountains of Abiram and pitched in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, and they pitched by Jordan from Beth Jesimoth even unto Abel Shittim in the plains of Moab. And Yahuwah spoke unto Moses in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you are passed over into Jordan in the land of Canaan, you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you and destroy all their pictures. And you shall destroy all their molten images and quite pluck down all their high places. So they're supposed to totally destroy all of the images, the pictures, all of their molten images, and pluck down all of their temples and high places, and you shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell therein, for I have given you the land to possess it. And you should divide the land by lot for an inheritance among your families, and to the more you shall give the more inheritance, and to the fewer you shall give the less inheritance, for every man's inheritance shall be in the place where his lot falleth, according to the tribes of your fathers you shall inherit it. But if you will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which you let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes, ouch, and thorns in your sides, and shall vex you in the land wherein you dwell. Moreover, it shall come to pass that I shall do unto you as I thought to do unto them. Dire warning there for the children of Israel. And that brings us to chapter 34. And looks like we may get through this today. Definitely. Chapter 34, verse 1. And Yahuwah spoke unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel, say unto them, When you come into the land of Canaan, this is the land that shall fall unto you for an inheritance, even the land of Canaan with the coasts thereof. Then your south quarter shall be from the wilderness of Zin, along by the coasts of Edom, and your south border shall be the outermost course of the salt sea eastward, and your border shall turn from the south to the ascent of Akrabim and pass on to Zin, and from going forth shall be from the south of Kadesh Barnea and shall go to Hazar Adar and pass on to Asmon. The border shall fetch a compass from Asmon unto the river of Egypt, and the goings out of it shall be at the sea. So basically, he is giving them landmarks and drawing a line or a border from landmark to landmark and telling them what their borders are. In some cases, their border is the sea or the water or, as we have it here, the river of Egypt. This shall be your north border. From the great sea, you shall point out for you Mount Hor. So they're supposed to see Mount Hor from the Great Sea and draw a line directly, I would say probably to the top of the mount, Mount Hor. And from Mount Hor you shall point out for your border to the entrance of Hamath, and the goings forth of the border shall be to Zedad. And I'm sure there are people that have worked all of this out on maps, and you ever notice those maps in the front or the back of your Bible, then you can see a lot of this stuff is in there, and these lines are drawn, I guess, to the best recognition of those making the maps. We'll be back after this brief interlude.